From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Instead of a shovel and pick to dig deeper, Darren Denslow has his iMac G3 and rusty magnifying glass so he can dig deeper for the real story. This is Digging Deeper with DD Denslow on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to TNT Radio. Yeah, this is me, DD Denslow. We're on Digging Deeper. I'm here with my old chum, my old mucker, Rohan, and we'll be taking you right through to when George Eliasson picks up the mantle at 3 p.m. Now, as far as I'm aware, this is my last hour of Digging Deeper for the time being. I can hear the screams and the panicking. I am sure I'll be back in no time at all. And I got asked a question today by James. I had to pop on to help James out, and it was asking about, you know, how did I end up in this seat? How did I end up being involved in Brexit like I was, and speaking out about COVID, the vaccines, and the narratives that we face? And I was sat on stage last Friday night. I had a crowd in front of me, and I was thinking to myself, how the hell did this happen? Because like 12 months ago, I was broke. I'd lost everything. My girlfriend was left for me. I was worried about my flat. All my gold and silver had been sold. I've lost a load of friends, you know, because I speak out, and my girlfriend left me because I refused to get jab, and because I spoke out, and she worked in the medical institute. She was an optometrist. And how the hell did I end up here? First of all, big shout out to Rick Munn. He's been a great help and a great support over the last 12 months. I was actually offered a job by TNT before they went live, but then I got cancelled on Twitter, and so nobody could contact me, and I'd never said yes or no because I had no idea what was happening. But eventually I found my way on here. I was a regular guest with Rick. I haven't had a conversation, an hour-long conversation with Rick for a few weeks now because of time constraints. But I was a regular guest with Rick. I got offered to stand in for Rick for a week, which I did last summer. I picked up a couple of other shows for a week here and a week there. And eventually they brought me on as a producer. And this was actually an ambition of mine 3 years ago when I stopped teaching, was that, you know, I had big social media accounts. Darren of Plymouth Twitter account was, one of the biggest, was one of the biggest in the southwest of the UK, and one of the biggest sort of very much outspoken accounts, regular accounts on Twitter in the UK at the time. I wanted to get on the social media. I wanted to speak out about politics, about how they're robbing us and how they're stealing of us, how they want to take our rights. COVID started. I started speaking out. And I then had decided then in 2020 that I was going to devote my life to it. So actually being here on TNT, again, on the opportunity to speak to some people like Right Said Fred, you don't know how excited I was that I got to speak to Right Said Fred, amazing boys, and everyone else. I speak to Lelaney Dowden, you know, I put a little notch on my bedpost every time that happens, you know. So the opportunity that I have here to speak out, it's like an ambition or a dream come true. And I intend to continue to speak out for as long as I'm able to draw breath, because I cannot sleep at night unless I do so. And I encourage everyone who is listening, speaking out, telling the truth is the best thing that you can do right now. Don't be a shrinking violet. Don't think, oh, well, leave it to people like Darren, who's got a big gob and likes the sound of his own voice, or to people like Rohan or Rick or the other people on TNT or the other people on social media. We need to be waking people up, because they are coming at us thick and fast. The news cycle is picking up. I can tell. I can feel it. It courses through my veins at times. And I can see what's happening, for example, with the 15-minute cities that we've already discussed in this show and is a regular theme on TNT at the moment. They're going to come thick and fast. And soon we will find ourselves in 12 months, 24 months time, finding it very, very difficult to move around and to travel and to associate with each other without there probably being some cost involved other preventative measures that make it difficult for us. And that will only continue, and it will only separate us further and further apart until we start speaking out and making sure people are aware of what's happening. Before we know it, we're all going to be trapped. And once the digital currency and the CBDCs come in behind it, we've already been corralled. We've already sort of been put into a pen. And then that will be the door slamming shut. So time is really against us. Something that you may have heard repeatedly from people like me saying, yo, time's running out. Time is actually running out, for us at least, unless we speak out and do something about it. So that is my purpose in life. And that would have been a more furnished answer to the question that James asked me earlier when I was a little bit unprepared. Anyway, that's taken us right up to the 10-minute mark. If you missed your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back whenever you want. You can listen to me endlessly on repeat if you want. You can just put it on like a loop and it'll just go round and round if you're missing me that much. So just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We are also on all the major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now, there's no reason ever to miss out on anything on TNT radio.
Trusted coverage you can count on.
They are a reliable source.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Oh, I do ramble on sometimes about a load of old codswallop, but hey, it fills up 10 minutes, eh, Rohan? And here's a story just for you. And I didn't send you the article. I'm going to read it to you because you'll like this one. The UN's racial hysteria. A new report claims Black Britons live in constant fear of racism. In the UK, United Nations in the group of woke hysteria. For clear evidence of this, look no further than the recent statement by a group of UN-appointed experts on the state of race relations in the UK. These experts claim that Black Britons are living in fear due to structural, institutional, and systematic racism. The UN working group of experts on people of African descent. So they've got a working group of experts on people of African descent, which sounds incredibly racist to me, which contains experts appointed by the UN Human Rights Council, visited the UK last week for a fact-finding mission. So a group of experts on people of African descent came to the UK on a fact-finding mission. Maybe they should have gone to Africa. On the final day of the visit, Dominic Day, one of the members of the working group, claimed that she had never visited a country before where there is such a culture of fear pervading Black communities. According to Day, the Black British population experiences constant and ongoing human rights violations as a routine and normalized part of daily life. I could go on. I'm not going to, because I want you to talk at some point, Rohan. Have you ever heard such utter codswallop?
Well, codswallop is the exact word I was thinking of to describe this. This is just ridiculous. And something that, I can speak on with a decent degree of actual sort of expertise, because I work with, a person who is an expert on racial discrimination and prejudice, who is connected to, a lot of the professionals throughout the country and is Black. So we've had many discussions about the nature of sort of Black people in the UK, how the sort of American racial culture is often stenciled over here when it really doesn't have any place, the absurdness of sort of BLM, and how the sort of the all of the gripes that movement has with the establishment don't apply in the UK. So to hear like a few, sort of suited and booted, I would imagine, I don't want to I'll hazard the guess that these people are white, probably officials from the UN saying like, oh, we're experts on Africans and we went to the UK and it's horrible. It's ridiculous. It's clear fear mongering, clear pandering, clear agenda pushing. with absolutely no recognition for the actual state on the ground. Because the UK, in fact, in all metrics and all studies, is an example of one of the best places in the world for racial integration. You know, until the mass immigration and the sort of springing up of incredibly large Muslim communities in various places in the UK. I don't mean this to be a Muslim bashing section, but there has been a great cohesion of racial groups that have come to the UK. You know, we've had black people in the UK for a long time. You know, it's not like the US where they came over the boats. Like there were black merchants, there were black sort of the playwrights and actors and all this stuff in the Elizabethan era, like even before then. Like Europe has traded with North Africa throughout its entire history. Like we're not of it's not like black people are something new and special in Europe or in the UK. You know, these people have been here, they're part of our country. I'm pretty sure that they're not living in constant fear unless they've been pumped with all of this SEL nonsense that we like to teach people in school these days, that, you know, that black people have to live in fear because the white people are out to get them all the time. But it's just, yeah, it's so far from the truth. It's as you can tell, it's quite enraging, you know, because I work with these people. We're really good at our racial relations in the UK. It's one thing we do well.
I mean, I worked when I was teaching in my last job in an office, etc. I was working with a black guy called Cyril. I know you're not listening, Cyril, but a big shout out to you, mate. We must catch up. And he was from Cameroon. I've brought him up before. He was French speaking Cameroon as well. And, you know, he couldn't believe that all the race narratives that were being perpetuated in my office full of woke teachers who used to call me racist for voting for Brexit and a Nazi and stuff while I'm sat next to him, you know, talking to a black guy. Yeah. And it's just not true because he never experienced it. He experienced, in fact, the only racism he experienced was from the people calling me racist, if that makes any sense. And this article continues. Most ethnic minority Britons would be baffled by such claims, which just backs up what me and you were saying. They are starkly at odds, not only with most people's so-called lived experience, but also with all reputable research into race relations in the UK. Take, for example, a major European study from 2018, which found that people of black African descent in the UK experienced some of the lowest levels of race-related harassment and violence in Europe. Who's the worst? Who's the worst in Europe? Because I was actually, I'm not surprised, but I wouldn't have picked this country.
Oh, is it one of the Eastern European ones? Spain. Let's go Spain.
You're going Spain. You said, well, was it one of the Eastern European ones? And then you went for a Western European country.
Because you said counterintuitive.
Nah, Finland. Finland is described as the worst. Yeah, in fact, across the 12 European countries analysed, around 30% of respondents reported experienced some form of racial harassment in the 5 years leading up to the survey. During the same period, just 21% of respondents in the UK reported experienced some form of racial discrimination. So if you are not a white Englishman, then 1 in 5 of you has experienced some form of racial discrimination. And it might be something as petty as name calling or something that's not even actually racist in terms of that definition. But to put this into perspective, the correspondent figure in Finland, wait for it, was 63%. So if you go to Finland and you're not white and Finnish, then you're likely maybe 4 out of 5 of you will experience some form of racial discrimination. But these Scandinavian countries are never mentioned in this light. Why is that, Rohan? And why are the Scandinavians in particular quite racist?
I think the Scandinavians have always been this bit of an enigma where, like, they're bunched in. They use an example of, like, this sort of the socialist running of a country and all this stuff. But actually, like, the Scandinavian countries are quite based. I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised if that Finnish statistic is largely because the Finns just hate everyone. You know, my experience of playing with Finnish people is that they're very grumpy, Grinch-like type of people that would probably just insult anyone, regardless of skin color. They just like insulting people. But the Scandinavian is, you know, it's always been like sort of very historically homogenous, you know, not just because, you know, a lot of the foreign people don't like living there. You know, a lot of immigrants that have ended up being bussed over to Scandinavia complain that it's too cold and the food is just completely different. It's like the way that they've adapted is something that almost only the only white people can stomach, the food and the climate, really. So they haven't had to deal with nearly as much influx of other cultures as the rest of Europe. As I said, like historically, you know, black people and other cultures have engaged with the majority of Europe quite, you know, quite widespread. But the more cold you get, the less inclined those people are to set up shop in those countries. So it would kind of make sense that, yeah, Scandinavia, Eastern Europe, they haven't had the integration over the years, so they've stayed with that more homogeneity of their society.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what it's like in Sweden or what the people are like in Sweden, because they're supposed to be very left-leaning and very liberal. Yeah, some final statistics on this article, what I've got here, is that the EU study, and this is an EU study, yeah, so an EU study basically found that the UK was the least racist country in all of Europe, okay? That's what an EU study found in 2018. They must... You know, you can imagine what's that horrible politician called? Is it Verstappen? I forget his name now. He was a big deal during the Brexit period. He's an EU guy. Anyway, it doesn't matter who he is. He's got big teeth. The EU study also found that the highest levels of violence against black people were reported in, wait for it, Finland, 14%, 1-4, closely followed by Austria, and then surprise entry at third place, Republic of Ireland, 13%. The figure among UK respondents was just, and we're playing a little bit of a guessing game, so you're going to have to shout a number lower than 13%. What do you think the levels of violence against black people were reported as in the UK? And it's quite low.
8%.
8%, it's going 8%, and I am going to say lower. It was 3%. So the EU study found that the levels of violence against black people reported in the UK was just 3%. It's almost five times higher in Finland. Perhaps the UN's working group would be better. Perhaps this, what are they called again? UN working group of experts on people of African descent. Perhaps they'll be better working in Helsinki via Vienna or Dublin, and maybe they can be a bit more happier with the results, i.e. their real results, and that's where there is a problem with racism, discrimination, and violence against people who don't come from those countries, not the UK. The UK race narrative makes no sense, and the only racism that I've ever seen or experienced is either been in a school with the staff, the white staff that I've worked with, or the nonsense that's perpetuated and smashed out by the likes of BBC, Channel 5, and Sky News. Anyway, that's another demon slayed. Rohan, and when we come back, we're going to continue on with a race sort of theme. We're going to be looking at what's going on with Turkey and the burning of Qurans. So stay right with us on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Dirk Pohlman is talking about.
Maybe you explain to our listeners how you became enemy of the state. Well, maybe not number one, but at least in the top 10 in Germany.
In 2021, for the first time, I went to Donbass. Didn't plan to stay there, but after I've seen what is going on there, so that there's Ukrainian army is killing civilians there already for 8 years, I was shocked. And I decided to stay. I opened a Telegram channel and started to tell about the story of Donbass, about the people. After the special operation of Russia began, my channel got pretty popular in Germany because I was the only German on the ground. And Germany was supporting the Ukrainian government from the beginning, so they didn't like what I was doing and started to talk in a very bad way about me in all news and television, and even blocked the bank accounts of not only of myself but of my parents too. And yeah, this is how I became an enemy of Germany. I'm now in Russia and I can't go back because they also opened a criminal case against me.
The Dirk Pohlman Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The following is made possible by Dad.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling all over it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
Why do you have to be careful when it's raining cats and dogs? Because you might step in a poodle.
And kids that spend more time with their dads grow up to be smarter, more successful.
Can I tell you a cat joke? Just kidding.
And with any luck, funnier adults.
Why didn't the skeleton go to the dance? Because he didn't have any body to go with.
Dad jokes rule. So take a moment to make a moment and give your kid a laugh. It's as easy as going to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
That's really funny.
Info at your beck and call.
An earful of information.
Driving the news cycle.
Just tell your smart device to play.
TNT Radio.
Welcome back to TNT Radio. Guy Verhofstadt. I've just seen Rohan's message. I've just Googled it myself. Yeah, Verhofstadt. There was a time when I thought he was the most dangerous man on the planet. You know, well, not quite, but I thought he was a particularly dangerous individual who was going to destroy democracy in the UK. Little did we know that he was just a little tosspot that nobody had to worry about. There were far bigger and more dangerous demons out there to be slaying. And we found that out as soon as Brexit was delivered. Right, very quick one. Rohan, key NATO member state accuses allies of psychological warfare. Turkey's NATO allies are engaged in hostile activities against Ankara. The country's interior minister has claimed his comment came shortly after the US issued a warning to its citizens in the country about the possibility of imminent terrorist attacks. This dude called Suleyman Soylu, the interior minister, said that on the day we announced to attract 60 million tourists to our country, they started a psychological warfare against Turkey. This follows on from the Quran burning of Rasmus Paludan, a Danish-Swedish far-right politician, as he is described here. What do you think about Quran burning?
Well, I'm definitely like on the team of freedom expression. I'm still glowing a bit from being vindicated by an article, but used to being beaten down by them. But the thing with is it's a very difficult issue with this because it's like the whole free speech one. It's just like on a philosophical level, I'm all for freedom of expression, but it's an all or nothing thing. You know, one thing I definitely noticed during this whole affair is that a criticism that a lot of Muslims are bringing up is it's like, well, okay, you're going to say that burning the Quran is freedom of expression, but what happens if you burn an Israeli flag? What happens if you burn a pride flag? And, you know, this is where I do object to it, is that we have those double standards. You know, we have clear protected classes in all of this ideology and thing that's being pushed. But at the same time, we're going to allow the antagonization of Muslims, which is like, as much as I approve of freedom of expression, it's clear that the objective of this was just to annoy the Islamic world and throw a wrench in the works. You know, for a very long time, Sweden and Turkey have had this sort of perceived spat where sort of Sweden doesn't want Turkey to join the EU and now Turkey doesn't want Sweden to join NATO. So they've had this long-standing, you know, sort of back and forth between them. But there is definitely seemingly a bit of an escalation going on with Turkey. It's like what I mentioned before, where in the early days of the Ukraine war, where it's like, where exactly is Turkey in all this? Because, you know, on the one hand, they are part of NATO. They have their own gripes with Russia and all these things. But at the same time, they also have gripes with the West. They're being alienated by the West. It's, you know, Turkey is in this awkward, stuck in the middle position where they don't really have too many friends on both sides, it seems. And both sides are pressured. Pressuring them to really commit and make a choice. So I think what we're witnessing right now is the sort of the struggle session with Turkey, where the West is exerting this force to really test Turkey and see where its loyalties lie. You know, if Turkey is going to fully commit against Russia, or if it's going to instead sort of splinter off and become either a wild card or, worst case, join Russia and start supporting it.
I think Turkey are going to go and join with Russia. I think they're eyeing up BRICS and going, do you know what? The West is in decay. The West seems to be dismantling itself, deindustrializing it, of Europe. The UK economy is trashed. The American economy is just one of those Potemkin villages with actually very little behind it now, just a big ever amassing pile of paper and paper debt. And it may be in the economic interest of Turkey, who are also suffering massively with inflation. The inflation over there is way, way, way higher than it is in the rest of Europe and in the West. They may decide to go along with Russia and burning Qurans. There would have been a time when I would have gone, no, Rohan, burning Qurans is perfectly acceptable. It's just as acceptable as burning Bibles or as burning Israeli flags. But that would have been a very immature and short-sighted view that I would have had just 5 years ago. Now, no, don't be burning the Quran. Why do you want to wind them up? Why do you want to burn the Bible and wind those people up? Why would you burn a flag? You know that there are consequences to these actions. So is this move by this Danish-Swedish far-right politician incredibly short-sighted and immature, as would have been my attitude 5-10 years ago?
Yeah, I think for sure this is the case, because, yeah, the problem, it's like the with great power comes a great responsibility thing. It's like, yes, you have freedom of expression, but the doing these things is clearly a provocative act. And if you choose to do them, you have to understand the ramifications that come with them. And you know, again, I hate the phrase, like, there's freedom of speech but not freedom of consequences, because that's just tyranny. But there's also reality. You know, there's it's like, it's clear that you're going to antagonize a group that's already on the edge, and sometimes old conflicts matter way more than the modern stuff. The reality is that the Europe and the Islamic world, we've been fighting for a very, very long time. You know, we've got old blood. And I think this is what really matters here, is that as much as Turkey is this on paper ally of the West, we're never going to see eye to eye. It's always going to be the Crusader versus Saladin. We're never going to have that unity. So right now it is, I think we're either going to see a complete fracturing of NATO as a result of this, potentially, you know, or just Turkey being kicked off. Because the question then becomes, will this be a domino effect? Will Turkey splitting off from things lead to more NATO members? Because I've noticed that a lot of NATO members, similar to a lot of EU members, everybody's getting tired of the obligations they have to these other countries because they're part of these systems. Everybody wants to go their own way and have sovereignty, but they can't. And it really highlights that, you know, the only debate about Brexit that ever really mattered was the sovereignty question. You know, because as much as our finances are now suffering in the UK, we can at least choose where we go. But the unfortunate thing is we're in control of politicians that are choosing to go the way with everyone else. You know, this is the problem if you escape the EU, but then you end up with politicians that just want to walk lockstep with them.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem we've got in the UK. Yeah, Erdogan, leader of Turkey, does have what seems to be quite a strong relationship with Putin. I'm sure he's looking at the antics of the West, looking at the antics of Russia, seeing what Sweden and the Swedish-Danish guy is doing with regards to the burning of the Quran. He may view that, and especially the public will view that, and there have been protests and riots because of what this guy has been doing. And he hasn't just done it once. He's done it a couple of times now. And they've already, you know, Turkey have already said, we won't approve Sweden's entry into NATO. You're right. They may say, do you know what? We'll just kick Turkey out and then we'll just get Sweden in, because they need to have 100% affirmative vote. Yeah. Or Turkey may just say, I'm leaving. They go, no, you can't leave. Yeah, I'm leaving. And then other countries, especially some of the smaller ones, not necessarily, well, yeah, some of the smaller ones are going to go, do you know what? Especially those that had economic ties with Russia, they may also want to go and leave. You know? And then we've got the issue of the EU. Turkey may go, I'm no longer going to continue my negotiations with the EU to join. And that in itself is a weakness for the EU if they get rejected. And BRICS, we've said it before, could be it's not just an economic alliance, it's a military alliance. Turkey are no slouches in this department. And, you know, we are seeing this division slowly appearing. You said fracturing. That's exactly what's happening. And that story, as innocuous as it may sound, about burning of Qurans and an upset Islamic population, they take that sort of thing very, 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 very seriously indeed. Just ask Salman Rushdie what happens when you oppose Islam in writing or do something like burning books. Okay, we're going to a break now, and then we come back. And I have no choice. I'm compelled to do this, and we will be talking about food, eggs, vaccines, and the latest Project Veritas expose for the last half an hour, taking us into 3 o'clock. So stay with us on TNT Radio.
And here's the news.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with your TNT headlines. It's been revealed Brexit has come at a massive cost to Britain, with the UK economy having lost almost $300 billion since splitting from the EU in 2020. The Pentagon says it's tracking a Chinese spy balloon that's drifting across America, and North Korea has promised a tit-for-tat response to any security threats, be it from its southern neighbour or Washington, including resorting to using its nuclear force.
God, you're amazing. You're a much better listener than my wife. You're always there for me. I think I may be in love.
Where is she?
It's not what it seems. I was talking to...
Who's the tramp I heard you talking to?
That was my Alexa, sweetie.
Well, she sounds like a tramp.
Fall in love with news and talk all over again with your smart device. Just tell it to play.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to TNT. Big shout out to Jane Black in the live chat. She just sent me a lovely message. I like lovely messages. I've been listening to your show, Darren. I've enjoyed it very much. You'll be back. Hasta la vista. I've been listening to 6 a.m. every day. TNT, fantastic as always. Keep up the great work. And yes, TNT is fantastic. And make sure you keep listening, Jane. Thanks for the message. Okay, eggs have been in the news cycle, or at least have been quite dominant on social media in the last week or two, Rohan. I know you're not a big Twitter fan, but it's been quite big on Twitter. There has been a major egg factory that's been burnt down. There have been, throughout 2022 and 2021, a whole load of factories that have been burnt down. Matt, there are now, in not mainstream, but prominent alternative media outlets, fingers being pointed at arson and all the rest of it. Us conspiracy theorists have been saying that. We've seen what's happened in the Netherlands. There are other countries like Sri Lanka and Congo that have all had like their food security massively threatened. What do you think about that pitch, about that story overall, before we start going down the route of tinfoil hat stuff?
Well, it's like we were talking about earlier about the sustainability, and food sustainability is just as important as energy sustainability, and they want to target that. They want to make sure that people are dependent on the government to go and get our little thing of gruel, and if we go and ask for some more, they just tell us to piss off, because the reality, I think it's funny them targeting eggs specifically, because eggs are actually incredibly easy to get. If anybody who's owned chickens or owned ducks, like, they know that you produce so many eggs that you end up giving them to all your friends. So they're targeting things that are very easy for the average person to get into, so that they can, you know, maintain that control of everything.
Yeah, it's the old adage, you know, every country, every city, every town, every community is just 3 days from a revolution if they go without food. So 3 days without food, you will have people on the streets. And another point I want to make out to listeners, if you're not preparing your food stocks, if you're not getting all the basics at least, like pasta and rice, as me and Rick have been recommended, and tinned foods, you really should start thinking about it now, even if it's just a month's supply, because they do seem to be coming and attacking our food supplies at the moment. Now, I come across this, this is on PubMed, chicken egg yolks antibodies, which are called IgYs, block the binding of multiple SARS-CoV-2 spike protein variants to human ACE2 receptors Basically, what the abstract says, without me reading it through, because it's quite small writing on my screen at the moment. Egg yolk prevents COVID infections. Now, so the first part of our little tin foil hat is, are they targeting eggs specifically? And this is a genuine peer-reviewed scientific document, because eggs are a food product that helps people have natural immunity to this COVID.
Well, I think in general, there's been quite a tinfoil thing for a long time with eggs, right? Like, I could believe that eggs would have some sort of rudimentary sort of healing qualities, in the sense of they provide the building blocks so that the body can construct all of the necessary, you know, cells to combat the virus. Because eggs are, they're designed to grow an entire living being. They have all of the basic building blocks for a healthy body within them. Like, I'm old enough to remember when there was that time that eggs were actually lauded, and they yeah. referred to them as having the HBV protein, right? The high biological value. Because what we're dealing with now is, like, you know, there was the cholesterol scare, and that's why eggs were unhealthy. And now, you know, you've got the price increases. So it does seem bizarre. You know, I always take it as a lesson. If the media is demonizing something, then there's probably something good about it that you need to look into, because it stops the government being able to control you in some way. And in the case of eggs, you know, they're incredibly cheap, easy to produce, and very good for you. So what does the government do? Make them expensive, hard to produce, and say they're bad for you. I mean, it does fit with the whole propaganda narrative.
And I had, you know, I had a sort of similar conversation with Lainey Dowding on during the week. I think she was on Tuesday at the 2 to 3 slot. And I actually went up to the shop before I brought her on, because I thought I'd go and buy some eggs, and I can show her some eggs that I bought, so that she knows I'm telling the truth of the story. And it's like a physical prop and a device to help with the conversation. But as I was buying the eggs, they automatically scanned through about 3 times. So I had to call the assistant over, and the assistant said, yeah, and I said, you know, I don't want to buy 3 lots, and look how expensive they are. And she went, because they had gone up by about 85% in the last 12 months, eggs. And she said, yeah, we're having real problems getting eggs. And I'd already at that point seen videos going around on social media of farmers, like in America saying, excuse me, saying, my chickens have stopped laying eggs. They haven't been laying any eggs. We didn't know what was going on. We thought it was odd, or they were just laying 1 or 2 eggs. And then they changed the feed, and then the eggs started being produced by the chickens again. Now, again, very conspiratorial. You know, do you think that the people in power have the ability and are sinister enough to affect the food supply to chickens and to other animals to prevent them reproducing?
I used to mock a lot of the sort of anti-GMO people that would go around ripping up Monsanto sort of crops as being sort of doomsayers and anti-technology and stuff. But yeah, again, these days, they do have the power. I think this thing, a lot of people don't realize the might that our technology has truly got to. You know, our ability to edit genes, to customize viruses, to do all of the, like, elaborate technological shenanigans. You see how far AI is going now. You know, like we mentioned very early on about Elon losing a load of money. Like, a lot of that he's invested in AI. Like, and you see what OpenGPT can do. You see what the face AI, the voice AI. He delivered a presentation the other day where he was speaking like Joe Biden, and the voice was almost perfect. So we are dealing with this sort of false world where they're taking control of all these things, and they can manipulate animals if they want, and or they'll just order you to execute them in the case of the, you know, things like the foot and mouth, bird flu. You know, it's like, how many times was it necessary to cull all those things with bird flu? All the government has to say is, oh, the bird flu's coming, and every, you know, chicken place, all the ducks and chickens get culled. It's like, can we trust the government?
They did it with cows. They killed a lot of cows for absolutely no reason when we had the mad cow disease fiasco in this country. And the same person, Neil Ferguson, was responsible for that, as for the models for COVID. Okay, eggs Back the eggs. Woo! Back the eggs. Could there be something more sinister? Who was that deity that you mentioned at the beginning of the show? What was his name again?
Slaanesh.
Maybe, you know, their worship of Slaanesh is also their worship of that total anti-nature. And that it's not the food with the eggs that they're attacking. It's the eggs. It's the eggs, and they are attacking the eggs of all animals. Maybe that's why they want to inject all our animals with mRNA. And they're talking about everything. They want everything, especially if it's in the food supply. They want it all injected with the mRNA. They want pregnant women injected with mRNA. I've seen videos of eggs not being produced by chickens, and apparently it's something to do with the feed. Again, I take everything with a pinch of salt, and we're seeing egg factories being burnt to the ground. And it was just the egg factories. It was just where the chickens were that were burnt. The actual office buildings were perfectly fine. They remained untouched. Do you think that they're going after nature itself, that egg?
Well, we've often had many discussions where we end up in this position of talking about the synthetic versus the real. So I do think there is definitely this war going on between, you know, the effectively the Matrix and the real world, because they can control the synthetic. There's the thing, it's like the main reason, they love the AI, they love all this technology, is that you can just have one person pushing all the buttons and levers. And if they cut a wire, that's it. Like, they cut your access to that thing. So they're going after all these natural products. Like, probably is a deep philosophical element to it, you know, like particularly bring it up, that it could link with the whole abortion thing and all this, that sort of Baphomet style thing. But it's because these things are easy for the average person to get access to. They want us to think that existing is hard, but when you look at sort of like the old medieval peasant, it's like the reality is, if you devote your garden towards producing food, it takes quite a small amount of land to sustain a family of people, you know, so long as you don't care about having wildly exotic things from everywhere. So it's all part of this narrative that they're attacking the real to drive us into this little synthetic bubble that they can control fully. They want us to plug ourselves into their matrix.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I can't help but
their matrix.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I can't help but think that there is a God complex going on here, and that the attack on nature is such that they don't want nature reproducing itself in the future, because that means it's something out of their control. They're not just talking about human beings. They're talking about plant and animal life and fungi and mushrooms and viruses and everything, bacteria. They want to be the gods. They want to be in control of all that life in itself, and they don't want it reproducing unless they has their say so, or that they are the ones reproducing it. Okay, coming into our final break now, Rohan, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about vaccines and the latest Project Veritas expose, and eggs will be coming up again, so stay right with us on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
19-year-old Jacob Kersey was a police officer with the Port Wentworth Police Department in the state of Georgia. I say was because he quit that job. The Daily Signal reports that on January 2nd, Kersey posted this on Facebook. God designed marriage. Marriage refers to Christ and the church. That's why there is no such thing as homosexual marriage. The next day, Kersey said he received a phone call from his superior who told him that he needed to take it down. Kersey said no when he was told that if he didn't do it, he could be fired. He was placed on administrative leave, then told he was back on the force but could no longer post about his views on marriage, so he quit. Kersey said the police chief told him that his Facebook post was the same thing as saying the N-word and F all those homosexuals. That, of course, is ridiculous. It looks like the big losers here are the people of Port Wentworth, Georgia, who lost a kid who could have gone on to become a great cop. But that's political correctness. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Suck it up.
It's not a big deal.
Snip out.
Just get over it.
We've all heard it. But if you're experiencing extreme stress, it's not just in your head.
It can affect your entire body because toxic stress can hurt us physically without us even knowing it. If you've lost a job, worry about your next meal, or have trouble making it through the day, if you're feeling the effects of stress, we can help. Text STRESS to 211-211 to find a solution.
Here's what I wanted to add to that conversation.
The conversation continues.
They just mean well, but they can't do any better what they're doing.
On today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to TNT. This is going to be a rapid fire last 12 minutes. Big shout out to the live chat. Got a comment here. Oh, someone's mentioned Egwina curry, which was quite funny. Went to my local poultry farm the other day. Their free range birds are in barns as they are terrified at what DEFRA will do and will close them down because of the avian flu madness. There is definitely a serious God complex going on. I think there's a God complex going on. It's literally at that level, which is why I'm not quite as an atheist as I used to be, because I'm pretty sure the Bible said when man plays God, then that's like the end times. I'm not saying that we're in the end times, but it does say something along those lines. I'm sure Rick, if he's listening, will correct me. Okay, staying on eggs, there's been a Project Veritas expose. Old Jordan Walker's been in the news again, and he's basically admitted, without reading his statements, I can't find it on here, on my notes, that Pfizer knew about the impact on fertility of the mRNA vaccines. Does that feed into what we've already been discussing, and that is an attack on human fertility?
Well, yeah, it's an attack on fertility. It's back to the whole depopulation agenda. I mean, like, pretty much every subject that we've discussed here ultimately feeds into the fact that they want less people caught under their control in tight little places, like buying all the things from the government. So it is... God, it's like completely farted up my brain, the subject then. But it is definitely one of those things where... Help me out here, buddy.
Rohan, for the first time ever, has lost his train of thought. That's great. Hey, that happens. That happens to me all the time, and I just say random stuff just to fill up the air. Everything that we've discussed today, everything that we discussed pretty much on TNT, if you have a look at it in sort of a deep, hard... long way, you see that actually it all sort of results when you boil it down into the climate change narrative and less people. And that of less people in the last 5 weeks in the UK, 13,500 extra people have died. Jamie Jenkins, who's a guest on James Wells' show, and you can go and check in the episodes on the tntradio.live website for those conversations. He's actually done a bit of a dig deep. He can get rid of like 5,000 to say actually that 5,000 extra would be accounted for in terms of baby boomer babies and stuff like that. And then he goes, that still leaves 8,500 people that are dying extra over the last 5 weeks. And there is no explanation of why this is happening apart from one, and that would be the vaccine. Are we going to continue seeing these excess deaths? They seem to be accelerating and increasing in number.
Yeah, this is the have problem we're talking about.
Have you regained
the problem with all
again?
These things that I get lost in the source because, yeah, like everything's connected and I forgot for a minute we were dealing with fertility. But yeah, it is this issue where I knew very early on, like something that interested me with the vaccine is the sort of Orthodox Jewish community keeps very close eyes on the fertility of their women. You know, yep. Particularly like Hasidic Jews, they even go to, so far as like monitoring their periods. So they were the very first community to go, hang on, we're going to stop recommending that our women take the vaccines because we're noticing that there's some stuff going on. You know, this was in New York, like very early on, you know, like I think within a sort of a month of the vaccines being rolled out, there were these sort of reports coming out of the Jewish community in sort of New York and worldwide. So yeah, I think it's very clear that the data has always shown this, but as with all of these conspiracy theories, you know, give it a few months and the media catches up with the people that are actually watching the data and the information. And it's nice to see this actually break into the narrative because I know like quite a few women like who chose to not take the vaccine just on the predicate that they wanted to have kids, you know, because they were young, they were healthy.
Yeah. I mean, pregnant women were always taught, you know, don't eat shellfish, don't inject yourself with anything, don't eat anything that you shouldn't have, yeah? You know, anything that might upset the baby, don't take any medications, et cetera, think about the baby and everything that goes in your body, and all of a sudden, women must have the mRNA vaccine. And yeah, it is breaking out into the mainstream media. The Project Veritas story is... you know, they are trying to avoid it, but I think it's going to get to a point where it's going to be increasingly difficult not to discuss it. The Times of India have just put out an article. MIT professor calls for immediate suspension of COVID mRNA vaccines. A number of health professionals urging for the suspension of COVID mRNA vaccines is increasing. This call for withdrawing the vaccine is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. A daughter of the King of Thailand, so a genuine princess, has just died. So we've got Sakharat Bhakdi now saying that Thailand may be about to nullify the contract with Pfizer and ask for their money back, which would be a massive deal if we could get that into the mainstream. Do you think that we've seen that the under 50s in the UK are now can't have the vaccine or won't be able to have the vaccine in September time onwards? Are they sweeping it under the rug, hoping that is going to go away and slowly withdrawing the vaccine under what seems to be or what is given as legitimate reasons? I've got one more thing on vaccines after this to go through.
Yeah, I definitely think that this is what we've got to be careful for now, is like the sort of control their position thing and be like, will they line up some big person to play the counter narrative, and will they attempt to capture the counter narrative also? Because it's important that we make sure we hold the original people accountable for all of this, that we go right back to the source and we don't just allow them to scapegoat some people and sweep it under the rug.
And I think they, you know, they may be doing that. They may have lined up some people like Matt Hancock or Fauci. You know, Fauci would be a perfect person to get set up as the fool guy, someone who could be chucked underneath the bus because he's now retired and he's old, and they can just, by the time he gets to trial, there's a Nuremberg too, he'll be in his 90s or dead, yeah, and they can just bury the trouble and the bad news with him. And I think that there is an attempt to do that. Now, this come across my desk, so to speak. Vaccine supply operations lead. So this is a job advertised on the government in the UK, UK Health Security Agency. If you want to apply, if you're listening and you want to apply to it, you can do it by Valentine's Day, February the 14th. It is a vaccines and countermeasure response department is looking for a national infection service directorate. This is for the vaccine supply operations lead. Goes up to 60k a year, in case you're interested. The requirements are for pandemic flu preparedness and emergency response planning and stakeholders during what is expected to be the UK's largest vaccination program, which will be delivered at pace and will be a key ministerial priority. This is in the job description. They are saying there's going to be the largest vaccination program to come. What does this mean? Haven't we just had that? Isn't it scary? Scary.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of that. Well, no, I saw the article, but it does make me think they're going to get an entire country of Mel Gibson from The Patriot when they pull this type of stuff. You know, I think that they might be greatly overestimating their capability to do this again, because it's become very clear that they've used all their political capital, right? Like if this was a politician making a move, it's like nobody trusts the government, nobody trusts the health professionals anymore. So how are they going to do anything like this again? Definitely not with a carrot, which is why it's worrying, because if they can't use the carrot, they'll use the stick.
Yeah, and what will that stick be? Will it be a vaccine passport saying that you can't access all the services, you can't access your money? Oh, by the way, you can't have a house or a flat, or you'll only get given the most basic of these rights, accommodation, food, etc., until you've had our mRNA jab. Will that be the stick? Will the stick be, hey, that COVID 2023's out. Yeah, it's got a 50% mortality rate, and they frighten the living crap out of us with severe death counts, young people dying, as Bill Gates has warned about in his catastrophe contagion scenario, where young people are primarily targeted, children, by a very dangerous virus. Will that be the stick? Or do they plan on just continuing to push with the mRNA vaccines as they are, and that this job is just another element of government wastage? What's it going to be, Rohan? I'm quite concerned about seeing this job, I must say.
Well, to a certain extent, the cure is the disease. I mean, all they have to do is find, they don't even have to create any actual condition. If they can just say that all of these excess deaths are caused by something and make the public genuinely believe that it's caused by something. I mean, we just went through the pandemic of the asymptomatic flu. You know, it's like, oh, you've got COVID. Even if you don't feel like you got COVID or you look like you got COVID, you still got it. So the likelihood of them being able to twist the narrative is a possibility. But again, I think people are too awake and too switched on. People are beginning to realize that the emperor is naked on a lot of these issues. And I think the government are going to very fastly figure out that they're going to have civil war on their hands when they start pushing more of this.
And the scenario you offered was one that I didn't bring up. And that would be that the vaccine injuries are going to escalate. They're going to get to a point where there are massive numbers, and then they will try and get people to vaccinate themselves against vaccination injuries caused by a vaccine. And if you said that really, really quickly, three times over in a rapid go, you'd get lost. Rohan, always great to talk to you. I'm obviously going to talk to you outside of here. And who knows, I may be back again next week at the same time. I have no idea. It's so exciting. Life is a one big adventure. Everybody, if you've been listening to me, great. Stay on. George is coming up. I've got one more news headline to do this week, and I can't wait for the weekend then. So please stay with us on TNT Radio.